Students will recognise the heavy feeling they get when they receive reminders from the ATO or the university of their fee, help and HECS debt that's been mounting as they study. But in America, it's even worse. High course fees and a loan system through the banks and the like leaves average earners prey to aggressive debt management measures. When you're an expatriate living in Australia, adverse exchange rates also can magnify your problems, as Jason Lequier relates.
How much tea have you had today?
Only one cup. Yes, can you put the kettle on?
When my partner Jason arrived in Australia from the US, I knew, or maybe assumed, he had a bit of debt. Many Americans of our generation do, because they generally have to take out bank loans in order to go to university. But we never really talked about it. I assumed he was handling it. I was naive. We had met in Argentina 3 years before, and when he moved back to the US and I moved back to Australia, we somewhat unwillingly stayed in touch by email and Skype. One of us was usually a bit shouty, coming back from a party, the other just waking up, bleary and quiet. We talked at unlikely hours of the day and night for 3 years, until it became clear we needed to try this out in the real world. He moved to Australia in 2013. In those first few months, meeting each other again, we talked about everything. We didn't talk about money. I did notice some strange behaviour from him, though. When he went to get cash out of the ATM, he would seem to disappear into a well of anxiety that I didn't understand and I couldn't get him out of. He told me he very rarely looked at his bank balance. It scared him too much. He would get official-looking letters in the mail from a place called Great Lakes Borrower Service. I would often find these letters around the house, with their bold, all-caps red letters on the front. Payment required now. I eventually confronted him about it. It took a number of attempts on my part, but I finally got the information out of him. It became clear that he owed some American banks, plural, what amounted to 40,000 Australian dollars for his degree. The anxiety of this crippled him, and the way he was dealing with it was to pretend it didn't exist. I could see what the debt was doing to him, and I wanted to get rid of the anxiety as soon as possible.
Is it all grey, okay?
There's something very uncomfortable about it.
It's hard to talk about. Money. Admittedly, this is a classic case of avoidance behavior. I never really developed a plan to pay off my uni debt after I graduated. I didn't really even understand it, although I was often reminded that I was the one who signed all the documents and accepted the 6% compounding interest, whatever the hell that was. Initially, I got off to a good start, though. Once I finished uni, I got a job through a federal program that put a pause on my loans and helped me pay off a certain amount. But somewhere along the line, I stopped making regular payments. My income was irregular as I was working two casual jobs, at a nonprofit by day and bar by night. The letters started to pile up in the hallway beside the door in my group house. The more letters I received, the more I ignored them. I wasn't sure how I was going to pay off the debt and afford to pay everything else. So following in a long line of avoiders before me, I buried the debt like a family secret. When I moved to Sydney, I worried about how I was going to pay for an unfavorable exchange rate and interest rate at the same time. When Sophie finally confronted me, I had to admit that I didn't have control of the situation any longer, and no one else really knew what was going on. The interesting thing to note here is that there's nothing exceptional about how I decided to pay for uni in the American context. There's nothing exceptional about racking up $40,000 for an undergraduate degree. In fact, the average student debt in the U.S. is $35,000. So with 43 million other Americans with student loan debt, you'd think that I was in good company. But in reality, I felt completely alone and helpless.
Thank you for calling Great Lakes Educational Loan Services.
Si desea escuchar la información en español, oprima el número 9.
To make a payment,
we decided to pay it off quickly and aggressively. We took some extreme measures. We started to send every cent of my income to these American banks every month, losing hundreds of dollars on the ever-depreciating exchange rate and on international transfer fees every single time. At one point, seeing how serious we were about all this, my parents, bless them, stepped in to pay off the balance of the loan. But we had to pay them back quickly. We knuckled down. Jason worked two jobs, waiting tables at night and picking up any casual labouring work he could find during the day, in Italian valve factories, in warehouses that made labels for cleaning products. All my income went to the debt. It felt like we were taking stacks of hard-earned cash and just chucking it out the window. We lived entirely off Jason's income. We pared down our budget to the absolute minimum to keep body and soul together. Every week, Jason would commute for 2 hours by train and bus in order to go to an incredibly cheap Chinese fruit and veg store so we could keep our entire food costs for the week to $40. We didn't buy clothes, we didn't get haircuts. We caught buses at random times of the day and night to get free travel on our Opal cards. We delayed dealing with health issues. I needed to go to the dermatologist, I put it off. I needed to buy birth control, I put it off. We wound back our social life. We missed friends' special occasions, we didn't replace Jason's irreparably broken phone or the shoes that were permanently falling off his feet.
We kind of got almost competitive about it, really. We took it to, once we settled in, it's like running. When you first start running, it's awful and uncomfortable. And then you kind of get into a groove and then you just feel fine, and then you kind of forget what it felt like not to run.
We asked for help. Generous friends donated furniture, kitchenware, and a waterlogged mattress. When I got a new job, more friends donated work-appropriate clothes that I couldn't afford to buy. Our friends and family really showed up for us, even though we never really revealed to our friends the extent of the austerity.
I guess what it's worth considering is that if it was so hard for us, and I, you know, we were both fully employed most of that time. We're both young, healthy, fit people. We had help. We had a lot of help. We're both middle class. You know, if it was so difficult for us and it had such long-term detrimental effects on our mental health, imagine what it must be like for people who don't have all of those advantages, being the majority of the US population.
Mm-hmm.
We paid off the debt 5 weeks ago. It took us 18 months. Since then, we've been feeling very thoughtful about the whole process and how it has affected our behaviour. We're relieved it's all over and we can enter the land of the living again. At the time, it felt like we were desperately holding our breath, hoping nothing would go wrong, feeling that any small slip-up could cause the whole fragile ecosystem to come crumbling down.
I feel like we just kind of blacked out and got it done. But then once we came out the other side, it was actually kind of hard to, you know, to readjust to post-debt life.
There have been consequences of deciding to pay it off quickly. Unfortunately, the long-term effects of this process are not quickly shaken off. The aggressive repayments, originally designed to relieve Jason of the anxiety and guilt the debt was causing him, actually served to broaden the anxiety from one of us to both of us.
One thing that I didn't anticipate was that I would still feel anxious about money, and unfortunately I have projected that onto you. I mean, I owe you a great deal for this whole thing, and one of the things I feel worst about the whole thing is that I made you experience this acute anxiety that I feel around money.
I guess what I expected to happen was that once we'd paid the debt off, that would all go away.
Mm.
And I didn't find that at all. In fact, just the other day, I had to go to a work dinner and I had a panic attack because it cost $13 more than I had budgeted for that night, which is ridiculous.
Mm.
So I think it's something that has had long-term effects on both of us and on our relationship. In a cliche way, what I learned from this experience was that I think we really need to learn to talk about money and we need to have better language to discuss it, because our generation, or I don't know, people who are educated and middle class tend to be good at political conversations, conversations about broader social and economic forces, and potentially not as good at discussing their own financial struggles that they're going through.
Yeah.
What's wrong?
It's taboo. But we're doing better now.
Sophie and Jason Laquia there with a very personal debt report.